Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. To make a donation, please use the link to the left of this webpage. And thanks.
From the Cancun Climate Summit, this is Living on Earth. I'm Steve Kerwood.
And I'm Bruce Gellerman. Asked why he robbed banks, infamous bank robber Willie Sutton reportedly quipped, because that's where they keep the money.
Well, if Sutton were alive and thieving today, you might find him in a forest, because that's where trees store trillions of tons of carbon, potentially worth billions of dollars. The UN mechanism known as RED is designed to put a price on forest carbon, so the owners have an incentive to keep trees standing instead of cutting them down. Already, there's some $4 billion for RED projects on the table, and that could increase to $25 billion a year if climate negotiators can agree on how to implement and monitor RED.
David Stewart is a carbon crime buster. He investigates natural resources corruption with the London-based watchdog group Global Witness, and he's attending the UN Climate Summit.
It's the kind of area you would think about investing in if you were an organized criminal. There's certainly organized crime looking at RED as a potential market to become engaged in. There's going to be a lot of money coming in from the climate change process, and a lot of the places in which the money is moving into are countries with serious corruption risks, with poor law enforcement, poor regulations. It's easy to move in and move money around and to manipulate the system to take advantage.
So if you were a nefarious person and wanted to take advantage of the proposed RED schemes, the schemes to protect trees and keep their carbon stored and locked in there, how might you do that?
I'd be particularly interested in countries that don't have clear land tenure, where ownership of the forest land is unclear, in which it's very easy to manipulate land ownership. And so it's who owns the land is going to own the resource. And we now have carbon as a commodity, which people are looking at and is now far more valuable.
How much money are we talking about?
They're talking $15 to $20 billion a year within the next 5-10 years.
So it's really where the money is.
There's a lot of money in forest protection. It's considered one of the more viable climate change solutions. So there's a lot of investment going into it. There's a lot of money being put up by many donor countries, by large multilateral institutions, all looking at various ways of investing in forest protection, because forests store a lot of carbon. So they're an essential key plank to any climate change solution.
Now, there have already been cases where people have tried to corrupt the system, and they've succeeded in some cases.
There's reports of carbon cowboys moving into Papua New Guinea, trying to manipulate the system to take ownership of land or to have local landowners sign over their carbon rights, and in some cases through the threats of violence. There are reports in Papua New Guinea of the Office of Climate Change issuing carbon credits, even though there was no legislation in place. There's an investigation into some British-based companies that are looking at entering into agreements with governments over ownership of the carbon or the ability to trade the carbon on international markets. And there are reports of bribes being paid, of not fair prices being paid for the carbon and for people taking advantage of weak governance systems.
So are there international laws against this? Do we have a system for monitoring it and for punishing people?
This stage we don't. It's mostly done on the voluntary carbon market. So all of this activity that is going on now is people getting in early in preparation for the big money that's coming. So there isn't any mechanism that can monitor it, that can ensure that it's being done according to any international standards, because there are no international standards at this point. And it's an issue that we in Global Witness are advocating further involvement of law enforcement agencies at the beginning in helping to design the system so that there aren't loopholes, that the system is implemented in a way that it can be easily enforced rather than trying to fix it up after it's too late.
So is it possible that this conference will come up with a mechanism, a RED mechanism, to save the carbon in trees, but that when nefarious types and people with less than noble motives move in, that nothing will happen, that there will be no stored carbon and the money will just disappear?
It's quite possible. There's a genuine push by many to get a good deal here. at these climate change talks, in which there will be a strong regime to protect the forests. But there are also many other vested interests involved in this process, looking for a deal on forest protection that isn't necessarily in the interest of the climate, but is in their own vested interests. So there's a push by the logging industry to protect forests for the benefit of logging, not for the benefit of the climate. There's a push to provide subsidies to the plantation industry. If there's a lack of safeguard in the agreement that we come up with, it may well end up subsidising palm oil plantations. And particularly scary is that it may provide an incentive to actually chop down natural forests and replace it with palm oil plantations. It's the lack of these sorts of safeguards that undermine the environmental integrity of the agreement.
So how close are they to building in the safeguards that you'd like to see?
We have some relatively strong language around the safeguards, but in terms of actual implementation, there's a lot of weak language, and that's the really important issue that we have to get right at these climate change talks.
Well, David, thank you very, very much. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
David Stewart is with the Anti-Corruption Monitoring Group, Global Witness.